My name's Rose Omanadi.
Hi, Rose.
And I've just melted, as I've said it. And yeah, and I'm really nervous, and my peers are here, and I want to sound well, and I want to, you know, and all that. And the thing that is really mad, like all week I've sort of been a bit nervous. Not doing the chair in my head, but like the main thing is I've got a really deep voice. And when I'm taped, my voice sounds really low. I mean, I ring up Director Inquiry and they go, "Would you like the number, sir? Or put me through, you know, do you want to be put through?" So I think the first time I rung my sponsor and left a message, her boyfriend, "When was that bloke that just rang you?" You know, so for the tape, I'm Roz, I'm an addict and I'm a woman, so I've got that out of the way now. That's out of the way. I can switch off, right? And it's the really thing, like in this week, I know I was doing the chair, and last night someone spoke about their first addiction, and it was mad, because I just thought, God, that was me. And my first one was like a slot machine. My mum had a cafe in Euston Station, opposite Euston Station, and there was a slot machine and like 2p's, and I was about 8 or 9. And I just remember like frantically putting these like money in this machine, looking at all the bright lights, and just waiting for this little red cherry in the corner. I wasn't even looking at what was there. Just as long as I got that red cherry, I knew I'd win, you know. And even when I won, it weren't enough, you know. I'd hit the jackpot a few times and carry on and put it in. So when I looked, yeah, that was definitely my first addiction, and throughout gambling as well. But I picked up pretty late, alcohol and drugs. I did pick up pretty late, you know. I hear that people start up really young, at 8, 9, some 11 or whatever, and I wasn't that young. Anyway, but when I did pick up, you know, I didn't like drink. I didn't like the taste of it. You know, I didn't like the effect it had on me. And both parents were Italian, and of course we was brought up with, like, round the dinner table, there was always wine there, and they'd mix it with lemonade or whatever, and I didn't like it. I just didn't like it. But when I did pick up my drug of choice, you know, God, I think I was about 21, I was working in a pub, and the governor of the pub actually put sulphate in the ice buckets to make everyone drink more. So I was actually on speed before I knew I was on anything, and I used to work in a hairdresser's, and I used to go to work thinking, why haven't I gone to sleep? Why haven't I gone to sleep? And I didn't know. And that jaw ache the next day, and all that, and I didn't know, I didn't have a clue. But I remember, you know, when someone went to me here and they put a line on, and they just went like that, take that, and I went to dab it, and they said, no, snort it. That was it. I was in love there and then. I just absolutely loved it. The progression, you know, it was a weekend thing, blah blah blah, and I met my husband there, and at this pub, and I don't even want to mention it. I sort of joined that criminal fraternity, basically robbed banks very successfully for 26 years. And the reason I'm saying that is because I put up a front, I put that mask on. There was things I was expected to do, which I'd done. And sometimes beyond the call of duty as well. At first I thought it was so glamorous, you know, these clubs, nightclubs and bars, and, you know, but there was, you know, things I see I wouldn't want anyone to see, you know, not my kids, not anyone, you know, the seedy side of it, you know, the violent side of it, the horrible side of it, basically. But I went along with it, you know, I played the part, and I still felt different. I still felt I didn't fit in, and I had that all my life, I didn't fit in. I thought I was different at first because I had two brothers, and put it down to that. And, you know, a friend of mine came at me once, and she said she just remembers there was, like, all the blokes in the corner that way, like, you know, patting backs and all the rest of it. There was all the women in the corner there, and there was just Roz in the middle going, yeah, you know, off her head, like, you know, yeah. And, because when I took that, I didn't give a fuck, basically, you know. I just couldn't care less. And my brothers as well, both my brothers, you know, we'll go back and think about, oh, like, addictions, why aren't they addicts, why, you know, and I'm not, and they're not, they're not addicts, you know. We all grew up in the same house and that, they're not addicts. I can, they can go and have a drink once a week or whatever, you know. I couldn't. I just always felt different, that's the thing. It just changed the way I felt, and I've done that for many, many years. And then a friend of mine that I was going out using with, she sort of went to rehab and cleaned up, and she came out, and I remember going out with her, and she was in this in our friend's house, you know, and we was all having a drink, going in the tour, you know, going having a sniff and all this bit. And she was just sitting there, able to be happy, laugh, joke, with an orange juice. And I was thinking, fuck it, fucking orange juice. And then I just thought, well, she's, me and her were the same. We were the ones that never wanted to go home. We were the ones that were looking for somewhere after the clubs had shut to go to, you know. And I thought, God, if she can do it, I can. But I still had that resistance. I still had that, from where I come from, you don't ask for help, you don't grass yourself up, you don't shop yourself. And I couldn't ask for help, basically. You know, all I had to do was say to her, look, how did you do it? I need help, you know, but I couldn't. Couldn't, wouldn't, ego, whatever. And it went on. So for 10 months, before I actually found the rooms, I thought, I'm just going to have a drink. That's it, just going to have a drink. And I tried that for 10 months. And I'd go to a friend of mine who owned a bar, and we're just having a drink tonight, all right then, and we'd do that. Third vodka late, that was it, you know, straight onto the Charlie, and I found the crack pipe as well. And you know what, looking back, thank God I found it, because I think it just smashed me a lot quicker. You know, it brought me to my knees, and the thought of it, you know, the thought of that crack pipe. And you know, and outside people obviously thought, you know, I had the shop and I might have had the material things on the outside looking in, but I had fuck all, I had absolutely nothing. You know, inside I was smashed. You know, emotionally, spiritually, I was void, blank, dead, you know. And I didn't know how to ask for help, you know. I didn't want to ask for help. And so I went like that for 10 months until I got to the end of, you know, of my using, when I was literally ready to commit suicide. I was sitting there with a bottle of sleeping tablets, ready to end it all. And it got to that point in rock bottom. You know, I hear about high rock bottoms, low rock bottoms, medium rock bottoms, or whatever. For me, I just think a rock bottom is where I just was so low that I just on my knees praying, please God, I can't do this anymore. You know, that was my rock bottom. And you know, I'd been to the churches, I'd lit candles up, please God, stop me. I can't, you know, I want to stop. Didn't know how to, and then I just said to my mate, look, you know, how'd you do it? And she'd come to a meeting, and that was it. She just took me to my first meeting. I remember it was a women's meeting on a Tuesday, and I walked in there, and cool, you know, I didn't do treatment. It says we can get clean in the rooms, and you know, you can. And God, I think I don't know if Lady was at the first one. I think she was. And I remember just sitting there thinking, what the fuck have I got in common with you lot, you know? And I remember in my head coating this woman up, because she had a pair of Birkenstocks and a short fringe, thinking, fucking hell, who's this bird, you know? 4.5 years later, I've got a fringe and I wear Birkenstocks in the summer, you know? It was just mad, and you know, if anyone wasn't cockney, I had to slate them. But then I had that as well going on in my head, like, you know, I hear about people fixing and they was on smack, and I just felt, I'm not as bad as them, I'm not as bad as them, I'm not an addict, I'm not as bad as them, you know. And also that as well, that fucking arrogance, you know what I mean? I'm better than them, I'm better than them, I'm not like them. But the flip side of that immediately was I felt like the biggest piece of shit in that room, you know. But I heard something that night, and also from that first meeting, I went home and I had 10 hours sleep for the first time in 18 years. I slept for 10 hours. And I forgot to take my sleepers and my Rohypnols and Valium, whatever I was taking, and I forgot. And I went to bed for 10 hours. And I got up the next day and thought, that was all right, I might get another one, I might get another 10 hours kit, you know. And that's what I went back for, to get 10 hours kit, if I'm honest. You know, and I didn't do 1990. I went back the next week and got another 10 hours kit. And you know, and what I heard was basically, it was the first time in years and years and years I got love shown to me in that meeting. You know, people coming up to me. Sometimes I was sometimes coming up going, "Are you all right?" You know, so angry, didn't know, so angry. I was going kicking the doors, outrage, and you know, and didn't even know, you know, and related to, you know, what people were sharing. And And I just thought, do you know what? Someone knows what I'm going through, you know, because I always felt different. I'm mad. I was told for years by my husband, you're a fucking nutter. And, you know, these Italians, they're highly stressed. And, you know, if you're told that for long enough, you believe it. And I just thought I was mental, basically. And I just kept going back to the meetings. And then it was suggested to me, you know, to get a sponsor. And I remember looking around the room and I remember, you know, hearing this girl sharing. And what she was sharing, I was like, oh, my God. God, how can she say that? You know, she's grassing herself. I'm like, oh God, I couldn't say that, you know. And years later, I was grassing myself up. The same thing, you know, about things I'd kept and away from myself even. And And even when I asked my sponsor to sponsor me, I still couldn't, you know, say, like, would you sponsor me? It was like, all right, love, you wouldn't sponsor me, would you? You know, and it was just like that. It was that, you know. And she said, yeah, it'd be my privilege. And I was like, oh, wow, you know, someone wants me. You know, I'd like to sit here and say that you come in the rooms, work the steps, service, you know, work with your sponsor. Yeah, that is it. That's the simple answer to it. Did I do that? No. You know, Roz wanted to do it her way. Basically, I picked up a relationship. And I've got to say this because I've learned from that as well. You know, all my pain. And hands up, I've been one of them ones in the rooms that go, I want a day off. I just want a day off. You know, hands up, I've done that. But I feel by sharing that, you know, I went away from that meeting and I didn't pick up that day. You know, I know we're here to carry the message, but sometimes for me, I think if I can share my truth, my honesty, what I'm going through, and don't pick up, you know, for a newcomer, that means like, fucking hell, hang on a minute, she's going through all that and, you know, and she ain't picked up. For me, that's for me, you know, everyone's recovery, but for me personally, you know, because I know if I walked in the room when I first walked in and, if I'd walked into a room for these Birkenstocks and short fringes and they was all going, oh yes, happy clappium, you know, we're 10 years clean and, you know, I'll have some, I'd have gone, oh fuck off, and walked out the door again. You know, that's, I think, personally, that's me. So, I don't know, I just try to be as honest as I can, you know, and what I done was basically I picked up a relationship and I put my recovery down. That is it, plain and simple. I wasn't going to meetings, I wasn't ringing my sponsor, all the things that are not suggested to do, Roz done, you know, and I felt that pain. I felt it, you know. What I'd done was I put my recovery on a back burner, and what it done, it put me in the oven, roasting, literally roasting, you know. And I got to a rock bottom in my recovery clean, where again I was on that floor crying, please God help me. I got back in contact with my sponsor, and you know what, I missed her, I really realised I missed her, you know, I picked her for all the, you know, all the, just for her, she's got a sense of humour, you know, she's loving, she's compassionate, you know, and I missed her, you know, I really did miss her. We, you know, we was able to share, and she shared me a bit of good news, and, you know, and I'm working my steps, you know, I've got that pen out again, like, I'm so resistant to do it, you know, but I'm doing it, and since then, I just feel so much better. I've actually let go of that relationship by throwing my old phone in the sea on holiday, because I had it in the drawer, and I kept going back to the phone going, let's just see if he's text, and I didn't. I went on holiday, and I just fucking threw it in the sea, and a friend of mine went, take the battery out, because you killed the fish. And I thought, fuck that, it might float. Fuck it, it might float, and I'll be swimming out for it. But and it's really weird, because when I come back, the phone, I kept looking for it, like, in the drawer, but, you know, it's gone, it's done, I've let go, it's so much relief, and, you know, I was in a relationship that was sick, it was, and I'm not even going into that. But, you know, and I just feel so much, so much better, so much better, you know. I mean, I'm just so, why don't I just keep things simple? You know, it is a simple program, and I love the drama, I love to, you know, I mean, I took every drug that agitated me, aggravated me, kept me awake. You know, I didn't want to be asleep. I didn't want to miss nothing, you know. And I've got to remember that, you know. Right in my step four, this, you know, my ex-husband, just quickly touching on that, that this man that I hated, that abused me for all the years. And as I'm sitting there writing about him, you know, Andy just said, how did it go? And I just said, well, no, I haven't heard, you know. He threatened to kill me, I had to go, I had to leave London. And now I prayed for him. I just said to Andy, I said, I prayed for him and he got a bird. Blindy, you know, he left me alone. Touch, thanks. But no, seriously, doing that step four as well, it was like, doing the step four, I can actually see, yeah, all right, whatever he done to me, you know, and whatever, he's sick. You know, he's an addict, you know. And I've got some compassion for him, and I never, ever, ever believed I'd hear myself saying that to this man that abused me for 18 years, but I have. He's sick, you know, and he's still suffering, and my relationship with my kids have changed as well. You know, I was the one that sort of leave him in a hotel in Ramsgate and come back to get some crack at Holloway Road and just leave him in the hotel and come back. Today, it's not like that. I've got a lot of guilt around it. I need to make my amends to them as well properly, which I haven't done yet, but I know that's coming, and they know, you know, and my amends to them is keeping clean. My amends, you know, to them is listening to them, which I never did. You know, making false promises and was never there. You know, today I don't do that. And was that 5 minutes, Simon? Because I see the hand go up just about. All right. And thank you for letting me share. And, you know, and I just feel like I'm the warm-up, you know, for Andy later on. But I know if I keep doing my programme, I'm going to be sitting there soon. So thanks. I'll leave it there. Cheers.
Thanks, George.